B-Pod Studios.
Astronaut races in to the high slot. Shoots. He's
good. Hi, this is David Pastrnak.
Three servings of pasta.
And you're listening
tonight
to 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second shot is good for Noel. 108-103. Inbound pass stolen away by Greg Monroe. And fittingly enough, a guy over the Christmas holiday by the name of Noel dribbles out the clock. Your final score tonight, Minnesota 108, Celtics 103.
Felger and Maz, no Felger, no Maz, no Murray today, no Stu. We got Skaz back there, Ryan Beaton helping us out. Phil Perry's alongside. Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Delightful. Much better than the Celtics, McCarthy.
Not great. Not great. Let me ask you this question, Phil. We got a couple open phone lines if you want to jump in on the Celtics right now. We'll continue to take your Pat's thoughts all throughout the day. Can I ask you a question about the Celtics team?
Go ahead.
Why should I care? Answer that for me. Do you have an answer? Answer me, Phil.
I was going to say how much time you got, but I'm not sure you could give me all the time in the world and I'd come up with a proper response to you right now.
Why should I care?
Here's why you should care. Because this team does still have two stars, and there are pieces that should be moved. And so if you're into the team building thing and the long-term planning thing, I think there could be some interesting things that happen with the Celtics in the very near future here. I think their collapse this year and close games, that one last night, I know you had a bunch of guys out, but to lose to the Timberwolves,
a G League team last
who don't
night.
Even know each other out there. I mean, you could have found five guys at the Y who would have a better rapport than what the Timberwolves had last night, missing all five of their starters. To lose that game, to blow a lead, you're now 6-12 in clutch games, according to my guy Chris Forsberg. A clutch game means the score's within 5 points in the final 5 minutes. They're 6-12 in those games this year.
Seems fitting. Actually seems high that they have six wins in those games.
That actually does seem a little bit high now that you mention it. 33%. Good on you, Celtics. It's clear the mix isn't working, and to me it's clear that moves need to happen, and so that's why you should be interested. Watch the games, but be more interested in what happens behind the scenes in the front office these next few weeks before the trade deadline, because they need to do something.
Tell you what, why don't you tweet me? Why don't you tweet me when the Celtics blow it up? Because then I will re-engage. Other than that, there is really no point anymore for me to do that. Really, what is the point? That was a horrible loss last night. That's a G League team. You got ancient-ass Greg Monroe out there. When they said Monroe,
hey,
was like,
watch that. That's my guy.
Is that Greg? Is that really Greg Monroe out there? Ancient ass Greg Monroe.
Legend.
You're losing to that guy. You're losing to that team last night. Jaylen Brown sucked. Romeo Langford was like -176 last night. And you know what? None of it matters. None of it matters. I'm done getting upset about the Celtics. To get upset about the Celtics, I have to care about the Celtics. And this team has stripped away the care that I have. That's gone. Because for so long, it was the rebuild. It was the building towards this thing, the next great Celtics team, building the next great championship team. And for the last 3 and 4 years, they have stripped that all away from me. To the point where you say, yes, they do have two stars, but it's not working. I know it's not working. I'm tired of banging my head against the wall with the Celtics team, tuning in every night and saying, well, maybe it'll be different tonight. Maybe they'll finally figure it out. They're not figuring it out. This thing cannot be fixed. It is broken. It is broken beyond repair. So I am resigned to the fact that they are doomed, that this thing does not work anymore. So until they make a move, until they really start trying to fix it, until they do something actually groundbreaking, and it's not just, let's bring back Marcus Smart, let's kind of keep saying that everything's going to be okay. It's not okay. Nothing is okay with this Celtics team. Nothing. So let me know when they blow it up. I'm tired of coming here and yelling into this microphone that this thing isn't working. I'm tired of it. It's the same thing every single night with the Celtics. I'm tired of this experience. I'm tired of this group. I'm tired of the can Brown and Tatum thing work together. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. So just let me know when they blow this up. Let me know when we can talk about the future, when there's something new to talk about. I'm done. It's not worth my time. I'm out. McCarthy out. Lucky can kiss my Irish ass on the way out because I'm done with this. I can't do this Celtics thing anymore. I just can't do it. Don't make me come in here And I'm going to have to do it again on Thursday. And you know what? Tomorrow night, they're going to find a way to lose the Clippers, and it's going to be the same story over and over again. And you're going to have to call me up and say, well, McCarthy, what's wrong with the Celtics? What's your take on the Celtics? How do you fix it? I don't know anymore. I don't know. I don't know what to do. All I know is this isn't working. So just let me know when there's something new to talk about. Let me know when they blow this thing up. Let me know when I can start thinking about the future again, because the present is not worth it anymore. I can't do it.
Matthew, please. Can I tell you?
Yes.
I appreciate you and your Irish ass.
Yes.
I do. And your feelings are valid. I want to hear you vent. I want to hear you rant. This is healthy.
I've done it so many times. I can't do it anymore.
But here's the thing. Let's pull ourselves up by our bootstraps here. You said you can't solve this thing?
No.
Why not? The reason I said they have two stars, and that was my first bullet point as to why you should remain interested, it's not to watch them necessarily. It's because there is some hope in terms of building this thing back up. You do have some assets. You don't have as many as you need, I don't think, right now, to really build it up and to really get the pieces you need to be a competitive team. But you have pieces. So why can't we solve this thing? Let's solve it today, McCarthy. Don't give me the, Lucky can come in and kiss my ass and I'm gonna pout and I'm gonna have to be on the couch for the next 2 hours with you, Phil.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to deal with that. I don't like that, McCarthy. I appreciate you. I respect you. I want you to vent. I appreciate those feelings. And it's not your fault. You should know
thank
that
you.
It's not your fault.
You know, thank you, Phil.
It's not your fault.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
It's not your fault.
Thank you, Robin. I appreciate that.
It's not your fault. But I think we can fix it. I think we should fix it today. Because there are moves to be made here.
Okay, so what moves are you making? Because here's what I would say. You have two assets and two assets only. And when you trade superstars in the NBA, you don't win those deals. So, yes, Jason Tatum, you can call me up today and say, you know what, McCarthy? Jason Tatum isn't an alpha on a championship team. You can't win if he's your number one. You should trade him. He's very talented, but he's not going to lead you. Okay, I understand. And you know what? Frankly, I agree with you. But what are you getting for him? What are you getting for him that's going to build the next great Celtics team? And Jaylen Brown, who's my favorite player on the Celtics, horrible night last night. We'll get into him and his comments in a minute. I like Jaylen Brown a lot, but like, are you trading Jaylen Brown and then getting somebody who's going to make you better? Or is it just going to be a lateral move? The problem is your only two assets are theoretically the assets that you have to build around. You don't have a way right now to bring in that third star to play with those guys. You can say, let's trade Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal. Well, okay, is that just a lateral move? You can say, let's trade Jaylen Brown for Damian Lillard, you know, in a package for Lillard. Okay, maybe that makes you better, but Lillard's 31, and I worry about him breaking down. And does that make you a championship team right now? I don't know if it does. So I think they're stuck. I think they're in a bad spot. But how do you fix it?
I think you're stuck.
You think it's a me problem?
It's a you problem because you love Jaylen Brown too much.
I do love Jaylen
Brown. That's the obvious move. That's it. If you're going to move one of these guys, as you mentioned, you have these two incredible assets. You can't trade Jason Tatum. So take it off the table. He's clearly the better of the two. He's younger. I think he has the potential to be a true star.
He has the talent to be the true.
He has it.
Yes.
Jaylen Brown does not. Jaylen Brown's very good.
I would agree.
I like Jaylen Brown, but he's not that guy. You're not that guy, pal, Jaylen Brown. You're not. So to me, that's the obvious move. If you want to do something drastic, which I think needs to happen at this point. And because I think he's a good player, I do think you could get something of real value in return for him. Whether it's De'Aaron Fox, who's been mentioned in trade rumors. We could talk about whether or not anybody would like to trade for Ben Simmons. I would not be into that idea. I like the idea on paper. I think everything you'd be acquiring in terms of his personality would be a little bit too much to try to make that move.
And the contract's a problem.
The contract
Even though
is a disaster.
For what they kind of, like a defender and a guy who passes the ball, they need that.
It'd be perfect on paper.
Except the contract's horrible. And then that hamstrings you moving forward and like that's who you are.
Even before you get to the contract, I think the personality fit is too much of a risk to try to make that move. But why not Damian Lillard? I know he's 31. We're now all of a sudden we're playing for 5 years from now. Let's have a good, fun, competitive team right now. Right now. Jason Tatum might not be here forever. His contract is not indefinite in length. Try to be competitive right now. There's been too much patience, in my opinion,
agreed,
with these two players. I know they're both young. I know they're both still under contract. The mix isn't working. I think you have to do something relatively drastic. And if you can move Jaylen Brown for somebody who pairs better with Jason Tatum and then somehow try to acquire other assets, which you could then move for Bradley Beal. If Bradley Beal makes it clear to Washington that he doesn't want to re-sign there,
yep,
and they have to deal him, now you're talking. That's what we're going to do here, McCarthy. We're going to solve this thing. We're going to figure this thing out. There are moves to be made. That's why you should remain interested in this team. In some ways, the fact that they're tanking the way they are, I think is going to push this team to make a move. What would almost be more frustrating would be if they beat a team like the Timberwolves, and then tomorrow night they get blown out by the Clippers, or the next night they get blown out by Team X. That's what's more frustrating. It's almost better for them to borderline tank right now because it forces them to do something. They need to make a move.
I think that's a good point. And here's the problem with that is they'll figure it out enough in stretches to be a 500 team and to be in the play-in tournament, and that helps nobody. I do agree with you that we have reached the point where something drastic is needed for the Celtics. And you know what? You're going to have to take a risk. Trading Jaylen Brown, again, he's my favorite player on the Celtics, but right now, it might not be, you might not get an obvious slam dunk. Like, let's be honest, the Nets trade was a slam dunk. You trade two aging stars for, you know, a treasure trove of assets, like just an historic deal. Trading, even though it didn't work out, trading Isaiah Thomas, a first-round pick, and the likes of Ante Zizic for Kyrie Irving was a slam dunk deal. Even though it didn't work, like, you understand why you make that move. You make that move in that moment 10 times out of 10.
Sure.
The Celtics are not in that position right now. Like, you're going to have to take a risk in trading somebody like Jaylen Brown, and it might blow up in your face. You trade him for Damian Lillard. Lillard's my favorite player in the NBA. The guy is an assassin. He's a killer. And he might be Kemba Walker when he comes here because he might break down. But you're almost at the point where this is so bad that you have to try it. So that's why I'm saying, tweet me when they blow it up. Call me, text me, let me know. McCarthy, you can come out from your bunker. The Celtics have done something. I'm tired of this experience. I'm done with it. I can't take it anymore. Push the button, blow it up. 617-779-0985. Full phone lines. We'll get to you on the Celtics. We'll continue to take your calls on the Patriots. When somebody drops off, you join us. McCarthy, Phil Perry, Jaylen Brown had some comments last night that indicate more problems with the Celtics. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry lot. You are a sad, sorry lot. 98.5. Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
You know, they played harder than us, and especially that second half. In our regard, it's, you know, it's tough. It's tough because, you know, I feel like the intent is there a lot of the time. And guys are trying to do the right things. But, you know, right now this is, you know, this is who we are. And, you know, we have some searching, definitely.
I'll kind of mention that some searching or maybe looking in the mirror is kind of important for the team as individuals. I guess thoughts on that comment?
Searching or looking in the mirror?
Yeah, just like,
no. No comment.
Al Horford last night saying, we're searching, we got to look in the mirror. Then Jaylen Brown was asked about that. He says, no comment. Huh? What? That doesn't seem like a no comment type of worthy response. Like, you just had a guy saying you weren't playing well. Oh, we got to look in the mirror. And Jaylen Brown says, no comment? Now listen, Phil, I'll say this, and it's Matt McCarthy and Phil Perry in for the guys today. Jaylen Brown is my favorite player on the Celtics. But even I will acknowledge that this guy kind of seems to be in the middle of everything, right? He had a problem with Kyrie. He had a problem with Marcus Morris. A problem with Marcus Smart. Now, you can say all of his problems were legitimate because his problems were with Kyrie, Marcus Morris, and Marcus Smart. Why wouldn't you have a problem with those guys? But now, Al, like, doesn't it always seem like Jaylen Brown is in the middle of all of this? Right or wrong, it seems like Jaylen Brown is in the middle of issues with the Celtics. So he's my favorite player on the team. But I think it's time that we stop ignoring that Jaylen Brown seems to be at the center of all of this.
I won't go so far as to link last night's answer to that particular question to some of those other incidents. Now, I think he was given a little bit of an out with the question. I believe it was posed, do you have a comment? And it was essentially a yes or no, and he said no. I just look at some of the stuff that we hear from these guys, and it's not just Jaylen Brown. But they seem so mopey and just dead to me after losses. There's not a lot of anger.
Right.
It's more sadness. And that to me is just another indication that this thing needs a real shakeup, because there's no energy there. And I'm not saying you should be judging whether a team has what it takes or doesn't based on their post-game pressers. That's not it. But I would like to see a little bit of piss and vinegar, right, from some of these guys. This is obviously a unrealistic situation. But I was watching that Kevin Garnett documentary. I don't know if you watched this thing.
Yeah, great.
It was produced recently. Really good.
Awesome.
But I couldn't help but wonder, good Lord, how many people would Kevin Garnett have punched by now on this roster if he was on this team?
Every one of them.
And you're not going to find a Kevin Garnett out there to add into the mix to change things around. I think that's what people think Marcus Smart is, or they hope he will be, in terms of, man, when this team lacks energy, he's the only guy who brings it. And I will give him that to a certain extent. He gives them a little bit of extra juice, gives them some emotion at times. I think he's way overrated as a player. And I wouldn't mind if they used him as a trade chip to eventually improve this team. But they've just got no gas. It doesn't feel like they're pissed off about how things are going. It feels like they're sad. And that to me is an indication that it won't get turned around anytime soon.
Well, two things you said there I think are really important to hit on. One is the energy in these post-game press conferences. I'll take it a step further. Their energy on the floor. I mean, they lose focus. They lose that edge. They lose all of that. It just goes away.
Yes. Like,
and that's at the core of who they are. And when it comes to getting that from a certain player, I do think Marcus Smart brings that to the table, but I think you need that from more than just a role player, particularly a role player who refuses to play his role and plays more of a role than he should. But in the NBA, you need that to come from your best players. You need that to come from your stars. And that's what brings us back to Jason Tatum. Now, obviously, he wasn't there last night, but Jason Tatum isn't going to give you that.
Nope.
You know, when you say you need that Kevin Garnett type of thing, that's what made Kevin Garnett so rare, what made him one of the greatest players in the history of the league. Not only the talent, but the intensity. You don't find that, which is why I love a guy like Lillard. I mean, I think Lillard's a killer on the floor. And, you know, I don't know if he's, you know, Kevin Garnett off the floor. Nobody's Kevin Garnett off the floor. That's a rare thing. But he brings you that kind of assassin on the court. And I don't think the Celtics have that. As talented as Tatum is, I don't think they have that.
I just want to get the sense that you're invested. You know, it just feels like when you respond the way you do on the court, at the podium, I'm getting a sense that you're just not as invested as others might be. I love Damian Lillard for that very reason. He is a killer. He is aggressive. He cares. You know that he cares. And I know people show that in different ways. And not everybody needs to be that wear your heart on your sleeve type of star. There are plenty of stars in the league, McCarthy, that have won at a very high level that aren't really that type of personality.
Sure.
Kevin Durant, James Harden, those guys aren't lighting up a press conference. They aren't lighting people up on the floor either. But I think you need a little bit of that. I think even Ime Udoka, and I don't know how he is with the players, but his interactions with the media are totally flatline. He says some things. Yep. The words, they have some weight to them at times if you read them on a piece of paper, but the delivery is just, it leaves me wanting more. That's all.
We'll hear from Ime Udoka in a few minutes. But yeah, it's apathy from the Celtics. And why shouldn't I be apathetic as a fan? Again, you want me to come in here every day and rip this team? It gets old. Like, how many times do I have to scream into this microphone that it isn't working? Eventually, I just say, let me know when you blow it up, because that's how I feel about it. Lee's in Westwood. Hey, Lee.
What's up, Lee?
Hey, boys. I agree 100% with what you guys are saying right now. I'm kind of frustrated with this team. We've been losing the same way the last 2-3 years. And to me, I agree with you guys. It's intensity. It's energy. You know, it's the awareness knowing, hey, we're giving up a big lead or we need to get a big basket right now. And, you know, having the balls to get the ball and put in the hoop. And so for that, I think we need to blow it up. And that includes Brown and Tatum. You know, I think it's time that, you know, at least have a good sample size to know that they don't bring the A game when it's crunch time. And you know, we're trying to win championships here, you know, so I wanted to get your thoughts on all that.
I don't think you move on from Brown and Tatum, but I'm willing to put it on the table that you move on from one of them at this point, because I think that's the position that they're in, Phil.
I really don't think you can move Tatum. That for me right now is off the table, unless you're telling me there's
return.
Unless there's some kind of package out there that would just totally bowl you over.
Right.
Which maybe there is, because he is that kind of talent. I just think the more prudent thing to do, and I understand this is still drastic. This is hitting that button that you referenced, McCarthy.
Hit the button.
This
hit
is
the button.
Blowing it up. But I think moving on from Brown would be the more prudent move, because I think you could get a real piece back, yep. And I think you could still have a shot at somebody like Bradley Beal. Now, there will be other teams that are interested in Beal that probably have more assets than you do. I mean, you could give away all your first rounders. I still don't know if that's enough to get somebody like Bradley Beal. They don't have all that much in the way of good young talent that teams are going to want right now. But maybe you trade Schroeder. Maybe you trade Marcus Smart. Maybe you start building.
Accumulating
and building those coffers back up again so that you can go to and not make an Ainge, you know, type of offer to a team out there that's willing to go crazy. But at least be a little bit more competitive to be able to get a player like that. And I think moving Brown and getting somebody back, you'd have to get somebody back who just fits better with Tatum. To me, Matt, they're too similar. They're too similar in terms of their ages, where they're at in their careers. There's too much competition for the ball at times,
wings,
I feel like.
Yep.
It's just the timing of having these two players here at the same time hasn't worked out. It's pretty clear to me. I know some people will say, hey, look, they made Eastern Conference Finals with these two guys. They both made All-Star teams. Just let it ride. I'm not there. I'm past that. I think they need to break them up.
You can't let it ride because you need to have urgency in the NBA, which is something the Celtics haven't had, because you know what? You're always a day away in the NBA from your guy saying, I'm good, I want out. And eventually you're going to hit that point with Brown and Tatum if you don't do something drastic. To your point, if you trade Tatum, you're not winning that trade. You're not getting anywhere close to fair value. When you trade superstar talent in the NBA, you almost never get a fair return. I mean, you think the Houston Rockets feel good about the return that they got for James Harden? I know they got a million draft picks in 2029, but I mean, that it's not the Nets trade that they got. It's just, you're not going to get good value for a guy like Tatum. Brown, to your point, you could get a 50-50 deal for Brown. You could get Bradley Beal. Now, you could make the argument, does that make you any better or worse? I don't know if it does. But you might have to do it.
I'd be shooting higher than Beal.
Can you?
I would love De'Aaron Fox.
I know. De'Aaron Fox is your guy.
That feels like a good fit to me. It's somebody who plays a different position. And I know he wants to score, too. I mean, he thinks he's a star. I think he's a borderline star. But he plays a different position. He, I think, would ratchet up the tempo for your team overall, get you running a little bit more, would just make you play faster. It would give you some energy. He is an energetic player. I think they just need to be infused with some energy with somebody who plays a different position than Jason Tatum. I mean, whether it's Lillard, and if you make that move, you're hoping it works out in the immediate. It has to work right now. You have to be a real contender right now. If it's Fox, then you're giving yourself a little bit of a runway there, and you could maybe still get Beal for something less than a superstar, McCarthy, because his contract is up, and I think the Wizards might feel like they have to deal him. So you might be able to get that team in a bad spot where it sells you its best player for what amount to pennies on the dollar if you can win the competition for that particular player. Now you're cooking. Now you've got three real players that play different positions that, you know, we know Beal and Tatum like each other. We think they'll be able to work together. That to me feels like a better mix than the one you have right now.
Celtics thoughts on the board right now with you. Mix them in with our Pats thoughts from earlier. Celtics and Pats all day here. McCarthy and Perry in for Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One of the poorest losses of the year. You know, a team that as depleted as we are, just out hustled us late in the game, and very undisciplined effort overall.
Ime Udoka last night after that horrible loss to that G League Timberwolves team with ancient ass Greg Monroe out there. Just brutal. Doesn't get much more worse than that. Jaylen Brown had a putrid night. Skaz, what was the stat you just shared with me? That Jaylen Brown, what?
So, real quick, how old do you think Greg Monroe is?
75.
He's 31.
Are you serious?
He's 31.
I would have said he was like Joe Johnson's age.
Yeah, exactly.
He's 31?
He's 31.
You're lying to me. You're lying right to my face.
But on Jaylen Brown, something I saw, I think Wallach might have mentioned it last night, but people are so hard on Tatum, and I don't think they're nearly as hard on Brown, and you're obviously a big Brown guy, as you stated.
That's right. I'm the reason why. Blame me.
Yeah, of course, naturally. But so yesterday, the Timberwolves are without five starters. This is Jaylen Brown's opportunity. You want to be the guy. You want to take over. Go out, win this game. He has one of the worst games he's had since his rookie year. This season, Jaylen Brown has 58 turnovers. He has 55 assists.
It's bad.
It's bad, yeah.
So there's no other way to
say
it.
Thank you, Skaz.
It sucks and blows.
We're going to talk McCarthy out of Jaylen Brown being his favorite player by the end of the day today. I think we have to get there with you,
yeah,
because that's what's holding you back.
If
you weren't so attached to Jaylen Brown, you would be thinking of the next move, and that would pique your interest in this team.
Again, just let me know when they make the move. Let me know when they blow it up. Press the button.
You just got to cut ties. You love too hard. That's your problem, McCarthy.
You know, it's true. Ask the Boston Red Sox. It's very true. I love just a little. I love too much.
He has been a disaster. I feel like he's gotten worse in terms of his ball handling, his decision-making on the court, his court awareness at times. I mean, it's like watching a baby deer out there at times try to figure out what to do.
And if you want to be the guy, sorry, Phil.
He's just not, he should be more coordinated, Skaz, should he not?
Absolutely. And if you want to be the guy, take the questions after the game. You know, Al Horford's been here. He's been a veteran, but he's not the guy on this team, and he doesn't want to be the guy on this team. You want to be the guy on this team, answer the questions, and be accountable when you lose to five bench players and old-ass Greg Monroe.
He was only 31 years old. Greg Monroe's only a year older than me. Good God.
Yeah, he was killing it in the Big East like 10 years ago. He's not that old.
Man, that guy, if you would have said he was 47. Chris is in Hartford. Hey, Chris.
I know, man. It's a tough day for you, kid. You know what I'm saying? You know, but take out the tissues. I got something else for you. Phil, I love what you're doing with the football and basketball. Hey, this is what I did. I watched the game last night. I watched Jaylen Brown. You talk about court awareness. Off-ball defense. You see the man with the ball and your guy, he has no clue how to play basketball. And at the end of the games, that's what's happening. I'll take you back to Milwaukee. Middleton got a rebound. He didn't know where Middleton was. He got the rebound. Then Giannis come down the lane and dunked on us. That was his guy. We need to get rid of him. I want to package him and Langford before the Timberwolves know about this. Go get Karl Anthony Towns. Sorry, Matty. Jaylen sucks.
Hey, listen, I would take Karl Anthony Towns. I'd be all about that. I mean, that's one of the guys at the top of my list. I would trade Brown for Karl Anthony Towns.
Hell yeah.
I don't think I overrate Jaylen Brown. I acknowledge his limitations. Just because he's my favorite player on the Celtics doesn't mean I don't acknowledge his limitations. The problem is that Jaylen Brown isn't a number one. Now, the only thing is, like, if you're trading him, are you getting undeniably a better player? I don't know if you are. You get Karl Anthony Towns? Yeah, I'll do that. I'll make that trade tomorrow. I'll drive Jaylen Brown to Minnesota, personally. Pile in the Mazda 3. It's going to get tight, but we'll make it there.
You're not a small human, McCarthy.
No, I'm 6'6". So. Just move the seat back. Pump that seat down a little bit. You'll fit. You'll get 38 miles to the gallon.
It's a little too cozy.
We'll make it happen. I'll drive you all the way to Minnesota if I have to. Eddie's in East Providence. Hey, Eddie.
How you doing, McCarthy?
Yo.
Hey, Phil Perry called it borderline superstars. And until they're all healthy and other teams can see, okay, this is what we want to do, this is what we want to do, they're going to be in trouble. So until they're all healthy, they're all overrated. So just, you got to be patient. That's all.
I don't know how much more patient I can be. My patience has run out with the Celtics. Let me know when they blow it up. My patience is done. My patience is over. And you know what? Being patient in the NBA doesn't get you anywhere. It gets you where the Celtics are now because they were too patient. Oh, they said, oh, you know, we'll be fine. We'll wait until everybody else, you know, kind of falls off. We'll wait until the Warriors aren't the Warriors. We'll wait until LeBron ages and he's not in the East. We'll wait it out. We'll wait it out. That doesn't work in the NBA. This is where you end up when you're patient.
I think people, though, are afraid of the unknown in the NBA, right? So if you're talking about making a trade like this, if you're talking about moving Jaylen Brown, you're afraid of what you might get back and that it might get worse. Here's the issue. How much worse could it get? And I know that's dramatic on my part, right? They're not totally out of it. Mm-hmm. They're around 500. But this is what you should be afraid of. Apathy on the court and off. Players not developing the way that you think they're going to develop. I know Jaylen Brown's been hurt, but has he gotten better this year?
No.
I think he's regressed in some of those areas that I just mentioned. This is what you should be afraid of. And so maybe trading Jaylen Brown now is selling low, and maybe you're hurting the compensation you would get for a deal like that, but you have to do something if you want to be competitive in the here and now. And I think whether it's Brad Stevens, Wick Grosbeck, Ime Udoka, any of the decision makers dealing with the Celtics right now should want to be competitive ASAP, because fans are trending in the direction you are already at. You are already at right now, McCarthy, which is, I think, you're seeing apathy on the court and you're getting it from the fan base because of where this team is right now.
And you should feel that way because it's been this way for too long. And in the NBA, this is a league where you need to strike while the iron's hot and be urgent because, as I said, 1 week from now, 1 month from now, 1 day from now, Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum could say, I'm good with this. I'm done. I want out. And you know what happens when those guys say they want out? You've got nothing left. You're screwed. And it's going to be a dark, dark time. Like, we are on the precipice of the Celtics being in a lot of trouble real fast. And if they don't act, and if they don't act swiftly and with urgency, they're going to be in deep crap. They will be, because they only have two assets remaining from the great rebuild. The great, you know, post-Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett era, the thing, that Celtics thing that you were building to for so long. I did this a few weeks ago when the Cavs were in town. Last week, I said, when you ripped off the Cavs, you had, theoretically, when it comes to value, it didn't work out for you. When you made that trade, you had Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, and two young budding stars in the NBA. Now you have those two guys, and that's it. You didn't get anything for those guys. They walked out the door, poor asset management. You had a treasure trove of assets. Now you have nothing left except for those two guys, and it's not working. And if one of those guys says, I want out, you're done. You're not going anywhere. You're in trouble. They need to act now. So let me know when they blow it up, Phil.
All right.
Because I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
You got a beeper, McCarthy?
Just, yep, exactly. Like it's 1994 all over again. I want you to send the message to my pager. Then I'll be able to check my voicemail box and you can say, McCarthy, they did it. They blew it up.
I'll fax you.
Sent, please. Please do. 617-779-0985. Fax us at that number, I dare you. McCarthy and Perry in for Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt McCarthy, Phil Perry in for Felger and Mass today, 617-779-0985. Let's take care of the people, Phil, shall we?
Let's do it.
Stanley's in Taunton. Thought on the Patriots. Hey, Stanley.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Not that much. So I noticed last week, or since I've been watching the Patriots since 07, I noticed that the Patriots are not a good team coming off byes. And I know that you guys have been touching up on the practices that they had, they haven't been really crisp. And one of the other things I wanted to add, I see Joe Burrow's doing his thing in Cincinnati. And one of the things I want to happen, I mean, I'm not the guy that's running the team here, but I noticed that his receivers are starting to click. And I know the Patriots are not having a good history drafting receivers. And I'm still salty about DK Metcalf not coming here. But I think it's one of the things we should be looking over to the next offseason is getting him a receiver.
Well, I would say that they improved their offensive weapons arguably dramatically this past offseason. That does not mean that they have elite-level NFL offensive weapons. They actually have guys who belong in the league this year compared to last year where they had guys who did not belong in the league. We've said it a million times, Phil. They can't develop wide receivers. I think it shows again this past week, N'Keal Harry with another bad game, horrible drop. Thursday night, you see Deebo Samuel, you see A.J. Brown lighting it up. They passed on both of those guys, selected N'Keal Harry. They have had a tremendous struggle evaluating that position. They're fundamentally broken in evaluating that position, and they need to figure it out here eventually because they need to eventually get Mac Jones better weapons. Doesn't have to be this year, doesn't have to be now, but if you ever want to take that next step, if you want him to take that next step, you're going to have to get him better weapons.
I think they need a quick separator, right? They don't have that traditional slot right now. Jacoby Myers has been playing a ton in the slot. I almost gave him an honorable up when we did our three up, three down with Bedard earlier today. He didn't post gaudy numbers by any means, but man, he's tough.
Yep.
They keep going to him in critical situations. Third down, scramble drill plays, over the middle. He's sacrificing his body. He was fighting through some things. And he is really, along with Hunter Henry, who was essentially taken out of that game, he's really their only truly reliable guy. I mean, Kendrick Bourne, I think, can get there. But he barely played the other day because he didn't practice, right? And so you can't rely on him because he's not on the field. Myers is always out there. He knows how to get open. He just doesn't do it as quickly as those traditional slots that we're used to seeing.
He's just not as good.
Well, and he's not as quick. Like I think he has a role, but he's a bigger slot. He's not Welker. Yeah. He's not Edelman. He's not Troy Brown. And for a quarterback like Mac Jones, who's been among the quickest in football in terms of getting rid of the football this year, to pair that quick release skill set quarterback with a receiver who can quickly get open and attack leverage quickly and make a move at the line of scrimmage and get open 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and maybe carry it then for another five or six. They're missing that guy in their offense right now, and he'd be huge for Mac Jones, whoever it is.
Don's in Mashpee. Hey, Don.
Yep.
Yep.
Hello.
Hi. What you got?
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
My question or my point is twofold. One, I'd like to make the point that I think we underestimate how much James White has been missed. He was missed a third down with Brady, and he would certainly have helped the fact that we don't have great wide receivers. And the second point would be, I don't think our wide receivers would be the number three, would be three or better on any good team.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate it.
That's a little strong. I think Myers is a two. I think Bourne could be a two. I think he's right about James White, although Brandon Bolden's been good.
I didn't see this coming from Brandon Bolden.
I didn't either.
He's making guys miss.
Thought this was going to be a real problem for them.
It's not as big a problem as I thought.
It hasn't been. He did have a drop yesterday, and I thought they had a little bit of a miscommunication late in that game where Jones got hit, but he threw way behind Brandon Bolden when they were trying to make that, you know, scramble to come back in the game. But Brandon Bolden's been pretty good. He gives you enough in pass protection. He gives you enough as a receiver. Is he as good as James White when James White is at his best? No. But he has been more than serviceable this year. And I've been shocked by that.
Mixing in Pats and Celtics with you, Jim's in Yarmouth on the Seas. Hey, Jim.
Yes, I think that the Celtics should trade both Brown and Tatum at the same time. If you're going to disassemble the team, get a leader in here. They've reached their ceiling. And I just think that maybe you have to take one step back for two steps forward.
Jim, I'm saying break it up. You're saying break it up. Jim's saying nuke it. Jim's saying
burn it to the ground.
Burn this city to the ground. Good God. I would not trade both of them. I would not do that.
That's the second caller we've had today mention that possibility.
Say trade both of them. I get the frustration. Trust me, I'm there. I get the apathy. I'm there. I'm not trading both of those guys.
It's just too much. He's too talented.
Can you imagine how bad this team would be without both of them? They couldn't beat a G League team with Jaylen Brown last night. Imagine without him what that score would have been.
They'd be the worst G League team out there. Spencer's in Longmeadow. Hey, Spencer.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long time listener, first time caller. I love the show.
Good to have you. We'll be nice to you.
Yeah, appreciate that. Just on that last caller, that's idiotic to blow the whole team up. I think what they should do is they should try to get Brown and Smart in a package with the rest of the garbage on their bench. And they should try to get either a true point guard with a center, most likely De'Aaron Fox, maybe Marvin Bagley III out in Sacramento, or possibly DeJounte Murray. And also, this might be a hot take, but I'm also taking a flyer on Ben Simmons. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Spencer. I think Simmons is a fit for what they need on the court because he's a guy who defends and he's a guy who passes the basketball. He's not a fit, I think, with his attitude. He's not a fit with his contract, perhaps even more importantly. That's the problem with a player like Simmons. Like, you bring that contract in, he's going to hamstring you. It's not going
to
work.
To me, he's too much of a risk. To deal away a real star, which you would need to do, to get him in return is really rolling the dice on his personality, whatever he's got going on in his life. I mean, that to me would be a move to stay away from. I like the idea of De'Aaron Fox. I don't know if A, the Kings are going to be willing to give him up, and if, you know, B, if they are, if there's not another team out there that could do more. I mean, again, if you're selling on Jaylen Brown right now, you're hoping that another team sees the potential in him to be maybe a number one on a good team. And you're sort of selling low. I mean, he's not playing well. They're not playing well as a group. He still has years on his contract. He's still young. I understand that. He still has a lot of talent. But we're talking about some of these deals in a vacuum as if the Celtics have a real shot at these players and other teams don't. That's not the reality of it. Whether it's Bradley Beal or De'Aaron Fox or Ben Simmons or anybody else, you're going to be in competition with a lot of other teams that are hoping to be competitive and soon, that are probably more competitive than you, number one, right now, and may have better assets than you do right now. The situation that they have in terms of their assets and what they could give up, I think is a real problem. It's part of the reason why it's attractive to move on to me from Jaylen Brown, because if you deal some of this other stuff, McCarthy, I don't know what you're getting in return.
90 seconds, no commercials. We'll get a quick update on the Sports Hub headlines. Let's reset our Patriots thoughts after this. We'll take Pats and Celtics calls all throughout the final hour here. McCarthy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.